Prices may be crashing on China's stock markets, but ivory is still fetching top prices. It's illegal to sell elephant ivory, so some traders are turning instead to ivory recovered from woolly mammoths. Yes, there really were woolly mammoths, and their tusks have been preserved in the frozen tundra of northern Siberia for thousands of years. Some have called the trade in these tusks the new ivory rush. Dan Fisher is a scientist at the Museum of Paleontology at the University of Michigan. Professor Fisher, why is there so much woolly mammoth ivory coming on the global market now?
Well, it's due to a combination of factors. One certainly is simply the cost that ivory is fetching, and the fact that even this 10, 20, 30,000-year-old ivory from the permafrost is in almost as good a condition as the ivory of modern-day elephants. And so that cost factor alone would send people into the remote regions of Siberia to collect whatever they could. Another factor is that with global warming, there's especially accentuated climate change going on in the Arctic. The melting season is much longer and more vigorous, and more specimens are coming to the surface.
Have you seen firsthand how the melting permafrost exposes these woolly mammoths in northern Siberia?
Yes, over many years. I've been doing field work in Siberia for about 15 years in far away, sort of outback, as it were, of the Siberian north. We prospect hill slopes, riverbanks, along the coastline. Wherever there's erosion, wherever there's melting of the permafrost, they're absolutely up there.
Have you ever had the experience where you're out there as a scientist trying to find these skeletal remains and you run into a mammoth tusk dealer?
Yes, a number of times.
Hmm. Are the sites protected at all?
The sites, unfortunately, are not protected. In almost all cases, unfortunately, the commercial interests trump the scientific or the cultural interests.
Now, I've read that, you know, most of these mammoth tusks come from northern Siberia, and their destination is almost exclusively China. And I've also read that some of these Chinese dealers, the ivory traders, are passing off illegal elephant tusks as mammoth ivory to avoid export controls. Is it easy to tell the difference between an elephant tusk and a 10,000-year-old mammoth ivory tusk?
You have to have either access to the whole tusk, and in those cases, sometimes its curvature or size will tell you that it's mammoth. But to really be analytical about it, you need to cut a bit of the tusk and look at a transverse cross-section to look at some of the internal structural features of the ivory. And with that, yes, it's possible to tell the difference. Even someone preparing to purchase a specimen may or may not be in a position to do that. So it is possible, and I know it does happen, that mammoth tusks are serving as a cover, essentially, for illegal traffic in modern-day elephant ivory.
What are the Chinese using the ivory tusks of mammoths and also of elephants for?
What we usually see are the everything from the carved trinkets to these large, dramatic whole tusk sculptures. Ivory artisans will take a whole mammoth tusk or a whole elephant tusk and along it in many separate figurines carve a whole scene, a whole caravan, a whole ecosystem of animals, if you will. Certainly the workmanship itself is often impressive, but those of us interested in the fate of elephants today, and for that matter in the scientific work that can be done to understand the fate of mammoths, would much rather see these specimens as sources of scientific information and understanding rather than carved ivory tusks.
When you come upon these ivory traders in northern Siberia when you're out there doing your own research, what if they offered you, you know, $1,000 for some mammoth ivory? What do you say to them?
If they were offering me money for a tusk that I had,
yes,
I would politely decline and say that no, this tusk was collected under permit for scientific investigation, that we're very interested in learning about these specimens and elucidating the natural history heritage of that region. And so because of that interest and out of respect to the importance of all of that, we would say, no, we need to keep this, and we'd go on.
Dan Fisher is a paleontologist at the University of Michigan's Museum of Paleontology. Thanks so much, Dr. Fisher.
You're very welcome. Thank you.